Or you've seen my e-newsletter this week, I've given you a pretty big hint that I'm not going to be unravelling or deconstructing or reconstructing any understanding of the Trinity this morning. I'm content to leave that as a mystery for your own delight or dilemma, whatever the case may be. But instead, I want to pick up on those comments from Jesus about the role of the Holy Spirit in leading the disciples and therefore us into all truth. Many years ago, John Lennon sang a song called Gimme Some Truth. You young fellas probably won't remember that, but some of you might remember the song Gimme Some Truth. It was redone more recently by Sam Phillips. And in that song, Lennon was not really calling for ultimate truth. Rather, at the heart of the song was actually a frustration about untruth. Now, I don't know what Lennon thought was truth, but you and I know that there is a lot of untruth being peddled around out there in the world today, being fobbed off, of course, as truth. Increasingly so, I might add. It can be confusing for us. Untruths have the ability to get us into a lot of trouble. For example, it so happened that untruth, I believe, was at the heart of the unjustifiable invasion of Iraq several years ago. I mean, who can forget it? I don't know where it originated, but there were no weapons of mass destruction to be found. Some believe, in fact, it was the weapons of mass deception. Regardless, no such stockpile of weapons was ever found, but the ensuing conflict from that lasted for 10 years with countless casualties. People go to great lengths to avoid the truth and to try to deceive. Now, I've got nothing against the Americans, and I'm sure they're no better or worse than any others, but I realised that as I thought of illustrations when I was preparing this, American presidents kept coming to mind. Donald Trump flippantly dismisses allegations against him as, oh, that's fake news, fake news. Another US president denied any wrongdoing with a staffer by simply disputing the meaning of common English words. Words, of course, are often the cause of debate about what is true and what is not. Words are at the heart of whether we say something that's true or something that's false. Words. None more so, I suggest, than the Bible, the book we so revere in our Christian faith. The Bible. Some says it says what it says, that it is plain to see what God says on each and every page. But other people do not always see straight away the meaning of God's intention in the Bible. Or is it more accurate to say that some do not hear clearly God's voice in each and every word that they read? And if I'm honest, I have to say that's where I sit. Sometimes what is being communicated in the Bible is as clear as the nose on my face. But at other times, I don't get it. I struggle to make sense of some parts of the Bible, some of the passages. Am I in good company or am I the only one? Oh, good, I see others. Others are sharing my feeling about how we come to the Scriptures and how we understand them. Folks, one thing that we must recognise is that we come to the Word, to the Bible, through the lenses of our own life experiences. When we read the Bible, we interpret it through our own glasses, so to speak. Our family background, our experiences, our church background, or lack of it, all shape the way that we think. We all read the Bible subjectively. I argue it's the only way that we can read it. After all, it's not a dead book from the past, but a book that is very much alive as we read it. Because it is the primary way that we hear from God, we come with the expectation that when we read the Bible, God's going to speak to us. And that makes the Bible, of course, unique. We don't do that with a novel, a way that we do with the Bible. When we come to the Bible, we expect that we're going to hear from God. But having said that, it should be obvious to us that none of us can claim to have a monopoly on the truth. Now, I've got to tell you that making a statement like that lands me in hot water with some people. I've had a person tell me that the Bible clearly says what it says. It clearly says what it says. But this person doesn't seem to understand that what he in fact understands is that the Bible speaks to him as he understands it, if that makes sense. Or the way that he interprets it, which may or may not be the correct interpretation. But of course, the bottom line is that whether we actually find it or know it or not, the Bible contains the truth of God. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring that truth to our minds and to our hearts and to our action, I might add. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells the disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth, because he is in fact the Spirit of truth. In the context of this passage, Jesus, of course, is hinting that after he has died and he has been raised from the dead, the Spirit will come and will enable the disciples to understand why he had to die. Before his death, it was too much for the disciples to bear, too difficult for them to understand, to comprehend. It's not a new truth that the Spirit reveals, but rather a deeper revelation of the truth that already exists. Jesus says that the Spirit would not speak on his own. In other words, the Spirit would not add anything, but would speak only that from which he hears from the risen Jesus and the Father from whom he is sent. So there is not new truth, but deeper truth and greater understanding. We have a hymn in the hymn book which says, "We limit not the truth of God to our poor reach of mind. The Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word." The truth is already there, but we can't grasp it all. Which means if you want to continue to grow in your relationship with God, you are never too old for Bible study. I don't know about you, but many times when I read the Bible, I find a new insight. Sometimes when faced with a particular situation, I read a scripture that basically jumps off the page to me and hits me. And I know that God is speaking afresh to me through that word. The word has always been there. The word's always been there, but my eyes and my mind have been opened to a new way to receive it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to me. That's the Spirit of truth that Jesus said would come when he returned to the Father. We have the full resources of the Holy Spirit at our disposal to help us to understand and to grow in our faith. Now, it is true that the Spirit works to reveal the truth to us as we read the Bible on our own. But if we ever only read the Bible by ourselves, we can sometimes misrepresent what God is seeking to reveal to us. That's why interaction with other believers is so important. One vital role of the church and part of its reason for existing is to build up the believers in faith. As we worship and as we pray and as we hear the scriptures read and expounded. There is, of course, a great onus on the preacher. Most often me, in this case, in speaking the truth. I am consistently and painfully aware of that responsibility. And while I seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit through prayer, I am the first to admit that I am a fallible human being, and I may not always get it right. It's the same for any of us who bring the message. So while you, as the hearer, need to be open to the Holy Spirit in your listening, you also need to be discerning in what you hear. So I humbly invite you to question what you hear from my lips, but not in the middle of the message, please, but afterwards, because I remember very clearly a time in a congregation when the preacher was preaching and someone up the back got up and said, "That's a load of rubbish." It didn't do much for the service. And it certainly put that preacher off for the rest of the service. So in your discerning, mentally ask the following questions. Is what you hear said about the passage from the Bible consistent with the whole thrust of Scripture? If it's not, then it may not be the truth. Has what you've heard been taken out of context? Beware, it may not be the truth. It's very easy, of course, to get the Bible to say what you want it to say by cherry-picking certain verses or passages. The so-called prosperity doctrine, I believe, is one example of where scriptures have been taken out of context and made some people pretty rich. Is what you hear about God consistent with the understanding of God that is presented in the Bible? If not, then it probably isn't the truth. For example, if someone says to you that God's love is conditional on you fulfilling certain works, think about the overarching message of Scripture, which clearly teaches that God's love is freely offered and revealed through the sacrifice of Jesus as a free, unmerited gift. Likewise, is what you hear consistent with the teaching of the church? If not, then it most likely is not the truth. The church through the ages has refined and clarified its doctrine. So it's important that we listen to the teaching of the faith received. Our basis of union in the Uniting Church calls us to listen to the creeds and the confessions of the faith and the other teachings from our previous denominations. It's important that we don't throw out the tradition of the church and that we appreciate the learnings that have been gleaned over the centuries. So be discerning. Be discerning. And the other thing I want to say is to be prayerful. We should come to worship and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us. Make that our prayer as we come. Lord, reveal your truth to me through the worship and through what I hear and share today. When we open our Bibles, we should ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his truth to us, to speak the truth into our lives, even, or maybe especially, when that truth is uncomfortable for us to hear. Prayer is vital to knowing God's will expressed through the Word. Prayer unleashes the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church. And I really believe that's true, and that's why I've instituted a prayer meeting each week before the service begins for 15 minutes. And I invite you and encourage you to come and to be a part of that prayer meeting. If you're a prayer person, and I hope we all are in some sense, but if you love to pray, I invite you to come and pray. I believe there is always more truth to be revealed in our lives. And we must prayerfully read the scriptures in private and in a corporate worship setting to grow in our faith and in our understanding. We must place ourselves under the authority of the Holy Spirit and be willing to act upon what God says to us, whether that be to clean up some area of our life or to serve him in some way. Brothers and sisters, I exhort you to be an open vessel to receive more of God's truth in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit access in your life. Listen to his promptings as you read the word and as you hear the word expounded. God has so much more for you and for me if we are willing to receive it and to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So may the Spirit of truth lead you into a deeper truth, that God might be truly glorified through you and in you. Amen.